All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, the Bible and Jesus Christ are the strongest evidence to prove the existence of God. If the Bible is not true, then neither are the things that are said about Jesus Christ. Much hinges on the reliability of the Scriptures. Is it true? Are they trustworthy? When we talk about the word infallibility, you know, the Bible is the most circulated and read book, but it's the most criticized. Atheists and evolutionists always are calling into question the integrity of the Bible. Do we have reason to believe, that is, to trust it? Or is it a cause, or not a cause, but is it a case of just our having blind faith? That's often what we're accused of. But the importance of the question is that if the Bible is not the Word of God, then our faith in it is a hoax. If it's not true, it's a lie. It's not worth following. And if it's not true, then there's no standard of right and wrong. What is inspiration and infallibility? You know, the Bible in its entirety is God's word to man. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. It says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things which are visible." So we see then that the Bible is the word of God to man, and therefore we must take it as a whole. In its original form, it was without error. It is wholly reliable when it comes to the history and its teaching. And concerning this word infallible, it means that it cannot teach deception. It will not be proven false, but will always stand. Peter said in 1 Peter, notice in chapter 1, as we look at verse 23 beginning, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all of the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever." Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. When it comes to inspiration means that it was God breathed. In 1 Timothy, notice in chapter 3 what we read in verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." See, the words themselves are inspired. And we see that too bared out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says in verse 13, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, inspiration involves both the human and the divine. God used human agency in revealing his will. So inspiration and infallibility either stand or they fall together. Friends, the Bible makes claims for itself. As we read just a moment ago, 2 Timothy 3:16, it claims that all Scripture is God-breathed inspiration. It comes from God. Scriptures cannot be broken, nor will they pass away. Jesus made that statement in Matthew chapter 24 when he said in verse 35 that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And it's the statement too that Peter says in 1 Peter 1, there in verse 23, when we read just a moment ago that flesh is as grass, the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The flower falls away. But remember he said, the word of the Lord endures forever. So scriptures represents the very words of the Holy Spirit. While we're here in 1 Peter, let's go to 2 Peter. And we read there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice what we read in verses 21 and 20. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians in the second chapter there in verse 13. These things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So see, the very words of God were put into the mouths of his servants, the prophets. And God, we know from Hebrews 6 and verse 18, cannot lie. But when we look at Jesus' testimony of the scriptures, we see in Matthew chapter 22, the statement he makes in verse 43. He says, how then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool. You see, and in Matthew 4, he says, it is written. In Matthew 5, verses 18 and 19, even in the small things. Let's read Matthew 5, beginning with verse 18 and 19. Jesus says, for surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. See, even the small things, Jesus tells us, are significant. So just claiming to be inspired doesn't make it so. If that's the case, modern-day faith healers would be right. See, we must measure claims with evidence. If the Bible does not measure up to its claim, then it's a fraud. If it does, it's true, and we are accountable for what it teaches. So do the scriptures measure up? Well, modernists claim that scriptures are so full of errors that no intelligent person can trust it. And these errors, as they call them, are only difficulties because I have a difficulty with a particular scripture. That doesn't mean that the scriptures are in error. See, the problem, more times than not, is in my understanding and not some contradiction, as some people are so quick to charge with the scriptures. You know, in history, and through Bible history, we know that the history records in the Bible is incomplete. This doesn't diminish infallibility. See, the Bible deals with nations and events that have a bearing on the story of redemption. And so it is then that when it comes to history, no, not every detail of human history is going to be recorded in the Bible. When it comes to science, the charge is often made that the Bible is not a scientific, no, rather it's not scientifically correct. Well, that's true, that things in the Bible run opposite to modern opinion, like evolution and creation. But, you know, I'd be afraid to call evolution a science. Truth of the matter is, it's a theory. And although we're trying to change the definition of theory to try to imply that theory is fact, how absurd that is. See, problems with science is that they're too easy to jump to a conclusion before all of the evidence has been examined. So, yes, the Bible is not a science book. But when reference is made to science, it is accurate. It is reliable. True science may never disprove the Bible, and theories and opinions have never disproved the Bible. But also, when you look at the uniqueness of the Bible, it's unique in its continuity. Think about it. 66 books written over 1500 to 1600 year period, that's 40 generations, by 40 different authors. They were from different backgrounds, lived in different places, on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, in three languages. It was written in Hebrew in the Old Testament, Aramaic by Ezekiel and Daniel, and Greek in the New Testament. Different subjects, different topics, but yet it's the only accountable reason for continuity is what we find in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter 1, we read this a moment ago in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we see then, it is unique in its continuity. It's unique in its survival. No ancient document is as well substantiated than the Bible. It has more manuscript evidence than any 10 pieces of classical literature combined. And to question the authenticity of the Bible is to call into question every ancient writing. For its endurance and its survival, we have God's promise. It's there in 1 Peter that we read a moment ago, but let's look at it again. In 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all of the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So surely, when all evidence is considered, it is reasonable to conclude that the Bible is the inspired word of God. There's no reason to doubt its authenticity. It is with confidence that we can defend the integrity of the Scriptures, and we stand in defense of something that is indefinitely precious. Friends, we see our time is gone. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.